We've got normal sound, normal video, normal everything, and I'll do shit and post. Again, I looked at it, and it shows an image, and then it doesn't. Oh, well, it is a wonderful Tuesday morning, and today's episode, just like all the past episodes this month, is brought to you by the great people over at growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. Speaking of growing, it's 420, Manny. What's up,
yeah,
man?
It is.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
Oh, man. You know, a lot of people might not believe it or know it, but I never partook before leaving the army. Like, I went 35 years without ever even trying, you know, green stuff. But I always had friends that were, I never was against, it was just my dad was in the army, it wasn't worth the risk. I lived on base, it's federal property, get caught with that going through the gate, you know. But I had friends that did it, and there's a great funny culture around it. Stoner movies are a thing, and I thought today might be kind of cool to talk about some of our favorite stoner films, man. You like stoner movies?
Yeah, there's quite a few I enjoy very, very much.
All right, well, let's fucking talk stoner films, man. Let's kick it off with one of your favorites, and no particular order, or if you want to do like 3, 2, 1, sure.
Well, I guess we'll just do a list, and then at the end we'll kind of reveal what our quote unquote favorite one is.
Yeah, sure.
I think one of my top favorite stoner films has to be Grandma's Boy.
Oh, yes.
Directed by Nicholas Guessen, starring Linda Cardinale, Alan Covent, Peter Dante, and Shirley Jones. I mean, come on, that movie's so much fun. You have the video game boss who thinks he's a robot.
Yes.
And then the weed man has an African because he has a lion and he has a monkey.
You can't yell when the lion gets here, man.
And then I think probably my favorite part of the movie, two parts, and it's very close together, is the decision. And I'm sad to say that I've made decisions like this in my life, and I ever totally regret it. But you know, he was too high to drive. So the monkey gets to drive.
The monkey got to drive.
And then when they combine the weed together, they recorded it for scientific purpose.
Yes.
There's so many good moments in that movie. And then Betty White's in it. I mean, what else do you want, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, what's her name from not Betty White, but the mom from
not Betty White. You're
Ray,
right.
Everybody yeah. loves Ray Raymond. Yeah. She's great in it. It's also one of my top three. I saw that, I think, for the first time in Iraq, and my roommate, he had gotten the nickname Hollywood while we were training to go out, because he's always wearing flashy sunglasses, and one of the trainers nicknamed him Hollywood. So anyways, we watched it and just laughed our asses off. It was such a funny movie, made by, you know, Adam Sandler's production company, and with a lot of his, you know, for lack of a better term, playhouse, you know,
yeah.
Actors. And I just some of my favorite parts are like when we first meet Dante, the dealer, when
yeah.
What's the main character? Was it Greg is his name or some shit like that? Anyways, when he goes over there, he's like, I'm not tan, I'm bronze. He's just like the most ridiculous looking fake color like ever. It's just over the top with the little pigtail things. And just, I love that movie. And then they're downstairs getting high, and there's all the noise upstairs with the monkey, and like the karate guy goes to take, because they got the karate guy to train the monkey because he's got to protect the Frankenstein weed and stuff. This is all common sense, people. And and by the way, if you do partake today, please do be safe. Follow all laws and regulations of wherever it is you live, state, city, and country. But I love it when they go up there. The karate guy disappears, and Dante goes up. And he's like, monkey, and then the monkey just drop kicks him from the top of the stairs. Oh man, I loved. Because it takes a lot of like geekdom stereotypes, but shows them as what really inspired that stereotype versus like a Big Bang Theory, which is almost, and to each their own. I know some people love it, but it borderlines on like offensive almost, the way it stereotypes geeks and geeky people. This did it in a more unique way, showing that it's not 1970s geeks anymore at the video game companies. Yeah, sure, you do have the robot guy, but you also have like Samantha, Linda Cardinelli's character. You know, you have characters like the main character. Why do I keep wanting to say Greg? It's not Greg. Yeah, man. What did you think on that? Just out of curiosity, just the portrayal of gaming culture and stoners. Yes, it's exaggerated, but I still think that's like, I have more memories, like conversations like they had with my friends than stuff from Big Bang Theory. What do you think?
Well, I've talked to you about how I relate to Big Bang Theory quite a bit.
Right. You are one of, that's why I wanted to ask you.
No, grandma, you know, it's another side of the coin, because sometimes when you're, you know, high or with your friends and you're watching videos or playing video games or whatever, you have that kind of conversation it's over the top, obviously, because it's a comedy and I guess you can call it a stoner comedy, but it's fun. And and if it wasn't over the top, then you kind of, I think you kind of lose its luster, because like moments like the monkey drop kicking the guy, or all of the the grandmas, whatever, if you want to call them all grandma, when they take the reindeer and the Frankenstein,
yes, you know, like,
walking around like that. You know, just so many fun little moments, or it's just fun. And yeah, I just think it's exaggerated, but it's supposed to be. If it was just kind of a little bit more toned down, it loses a little bit. The part where what's his name?
Nick Swartzen.
Nick Swartzen, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, something like that.
He's apparently, I guess, the master tester or whatever. Nobody can beat him. And then they install a Dance Jeff Dance Revolution machine.
Name. Yep. Yes.
And then he's like, oh no! And then like he wrecks them once again. And he's all like, oh my god, a high score, what does that mean? I don't know why that line made me laugh so much. But
is that good? Does that mean I won?
Yeah. No, that was funny. No, yeah, no. Grandma's boy, man, just a freaking good time.
It is. And you know, I can definitely put that as my number three. And my number two is gonna upset some people Because it's a lot of people's number one. It might even be your number one. I have a theory on what your number one might be, and it's either this movie or potentially another one, but I'm just going to say whether or not I was right or wrong at the end. But for me, my number one has a special spot, and we'll get there. Number two is Half-Baked. How can you go wrong? Dave Chappelle, Frick, help me out. Not Leary. Why do I always go to Dennis Leary when I think of this damn movie for some fucking reason? Because he
Dave
talks,
Chappelle, Guillermo Diaz, Jim
talks a lot.
Brewer,
Jim
and Harlan
Brewer. There, thank you. That's the names I was looking for. Was Brewer? I always for some reason go with Leary. Talked about anyways. Half-Baked, great movie. Hilarious. Really shows off like the most stereotypical of stereotypical stoner tropes, from getting the animals stoned to the over the top rapper with his own weed brand, and the premise of Chappelle working at a laboratory and getting access to the main, and then dude, the scene with the where he's got to give up marijuana for the girl, and he goes to the meeting, and you have Bob Saget. Have you? I don't even want to bleep it out, because
who this man?
Yeah, it's like, have you ever done that in a parking lot for cocaine? That's an addiction. I love the movie. Is it on your list or no?
Of course, yeah. Okay, and it's on my list because of the fact that it's so quotable. Anytime, it's still to this day at work, anytime anyone's gonna go to the store, it's like, anybody want something? It's like, bring back some Abba Zabbas. And then it's like, what's that thing we used to get back in high school? we still quote that movie all the time. So yeah, there's no reason why that shouldn't be on anyone's top list.
So then I'm guessing that's your number one then?
No,
so you guys
no.
Okay, cool. So talk a little bit more about it then.
It's just a lot of fun from the premise of getting the homie stuck trying to get the homie out of jail because he fed a diabetic horse. and I think the favorite part of that movie, and the part we quote the most, is just randomly goes like, when someone's gonna leave, it's like, all right, I'm not gonna do what everyone thinks I'm gonna do. All I want to know is who's coming with me. that's good. Just and just the fact that they had the brains to name the girl Mary Jane was great. Mm-hmm. And the guy on the couch.
Such a good gag.
you need the guy on the couch. And just overall, man. Just I remember how much I laughed when he's at the lab, and then they bring him the stacks, and he almost melts. Yeah, he like loses his footing and everything. Just really clever. And
yeah,
if you like Dave Chappelle, there's no way you don't like this movie. You know,
definitely.
Where are you from? Jamaica. It's like, where are you from? It's like, down by the beach. Yeah,
they did what a lot of stoner movie shows try to do, and that's include the two OG stoner movie guys, Cheech and or Chong, Tommy Chong, mm-hmm. Cheech Marin. Cheech Marin, of course, has had a varied career post Cheech and Chong days. TV shows not related to stoner stuff. The famous strip joint scene in Dusk Till Dawn, which my wife had never seen, and I got to show her that scene, and she just laughed so hard because that final line, if we ain't got it, you don't want it. Oh my God. And after the list, you're like, oh, but You know how not how high, but Half Baked had Tommy Chong Hong in it, and I always, whenever I see Tommy, I think of that 70s show, which is probably one of the best stoner shows that's ever been made, like on the TV side. The idea of the table and the spinning camera, that is one of the most brilliant like ways to do that. And Tommy Chong being involved from time to time when the parents accidentally had the brownies, and
The Photoshop guy.
yes, I love it.
They're playing
And
life. He goes, "Life is hard, man."
yeah. Oh, it's so great. And I think it's when he's I think he's been stopped in when they went to Canada for beer, and they're like asking him stuff. Or no. I think it was Red makes fun of him for something, and he's like, "I think I'm Chinese, man." And it's like, yeah, he really, yeah, he's part Chinese. It's great. And while I didn't put a stoner film from Cheech and Chong on the top three, we wouldn't be anywhere without Up in Smoke.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't be here talking about this. Kevin Smith wouldn't have Clerks. Half Baked wouldn't exist. How High for Friday probably wouldn't, because Cheech and Chong kind of helped make. They took the Reefer Madness bullshit and put enough comedy on it that it became what, while the general public was still like, "Oh God, not in my house," but I'll watch a movie and laugh at it, which
Right.
opened up a new set of comedy, and I love it. It's great. And yeah, you got anything else to say about Cheech or Cheech and Chong?
It also kind of for Latinos, it kind of poked fun at, the culture with the whole Mexican American song. Some of those things we could relate to. The Love Machine was freaking amazing. And
Oh
I
man, we
haven't,
used to
go
digging into
ahead.
those audio recordings and like the audio only gold. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, no, just a really good time again. And it's funny because it's going to be a recurring phrase I use for any of the movies that we talk about. Just a really good time. And I think that's what they're meant to be. It's just meant to be enjoyed with the boys, in a living room space after, you got baked, probably a lot of snacks going on, fun conversations. So a lot of the memories you have with these films are very positive,
Yeah.
because that's what you're doing. You're chilling out, you're chilling. And then these films were enhanced, right? It's almost like that was the 3D glasses to your movie experience.
I can see that.
Just so much fun. But a lot of the references from the film are still used today, and not even in the same context of smoking weed, just memorable lines.
Oh, I agree. 100%. It's comedy is like my go-to and my comfort item, and having these types of movies and being able to go back to even older films, like I said, Up in Smoke and stuff like that. It even allowed me to connect with my square ass dad. My dad hates my tattoos. He hates my ear. He lets me be me, but he's my dad's a square wear. He only drank alcohol legitimately, essentially out of peer pressure in the army. He like never cared to be a drunkard, which is why when he finally made rank and kind of got out of the new soldier barracks and mentality, he stopped drinking. It was a rare thing even. So he's not into mind altering substances, but he loves these movies. He loves things like Van Wilder, and you know these stupid teenage. He grew up in the days of National Lampoon, you know. And with that, let's take a quick look over from our sponsors at Grow Generation, where you guys might be able to get some nice equipment and help you, you know, enjoy some of these movies we've been talking about.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys very much over there at Grow Generation for sponsoring the episode. I'm sure you guys are pretty excited about today's episode. So, Manny, let's do this. Let's talk about our favorite weed related stoner 420 movie. The movie we are definitely watching today. What are you watching?
So okay, so we're just doing three then, because in honorable mentions I have to put in Friday.
See, I knew that. I thought that would potentially be your number one, but
no, it's
it was
not
on the list.
It's okay, on the list. It's just honorable mention. I love it. Grandma's Boy is just that much better.
Yeah.
Just it sparked two sequels, and I think Ice Cube did a phenomenal job, and they for a long time, a lot of memorable lines. Another honorable mention for me, it might be your favorite. And it's not my favorite, not because of quality, just because it doesn't have that personal touch to it. Mm-hmm. I just the other one I resonate a little bit more with, just because I watched it so much growing up. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is one of the most insane first time experiences I ever had watching it, because I did watch it while under the influence. I had no idea what the hell was going on, and I didn't even know if Tobey Maguire was actually in the movie.
Yes, he was.
it was just amazing work by Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro.
Yes.
And it actually, I think that's the movie where I gained so much more respect for Benicio del Toro, because of he does not look like what he looks like. He, you know, just completely transformed. But you know, in my professional opinion, as he would say, it's one of those must movies you need to experience regardless, because even if you're not under the influence, the way it's presented and the length of it
is like a trip.
It is crazy. And it's one of my favorite Johnny Depp movies. But the one movie I have to say it's my favorite stoner movie, and it's funny because I watched it before I even knew what weed was. Well, I knew what it was, but before I knew the effects of it or anything or got the jokes, has to be How High, Method Man and Red Man. And it's because it's one of the first movies we ever got for our DVD player when we got one.
Yeah, true.
And
it's an early one.
Right.
98, 99?
So the first DVD we ever got was actually Fast and the Furious. But the second one I think I remember is How High, and I think we got it.
Yep.
It was a copy from Blockbuster that they were selling.
Nice.
And Method Man, Red Man just killed it. Just I've not seen a movie with such a fun storyline and just clever, and the pacing is good. I really enjoyed it. You can't really take these films necessarily for quote unquote critical success, because if you look at any of these films that we've talked about, besides maybe Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, if you look at like a site like Rotten Tomatoes, they're all quote unquote rotten.
Yeah.
Right. And it speaks a lot about what critics are looking at for in films from what audiences look for in films, especially in specific genres. Like in this case, it's a stoner comedy. And I don't think that critics should be looking at stoner films that seriously, because I think you missed the point. How High, I just think the chemistry between Method Man and Red Man was really, really good. Just such a freaking good time, man. And I've watched it a billion times. I know most of the, I can almost recite that movie. Nice. As far as memorable lines, my brother and I still quote it to this day. What better premise than your homie gets hit by a bus, set on fire, and to honor him, you take his ashes and you spread it and you make weed plants, and then he comes back from the dead when you smoke him in ghost form and helps you pass your test to go to Harvard.
Perfect.
Yeah, just
wonderful.
And you take the two dudes from the hood and you put them in Harvard. So such a funny movie, man. And then they tried to remake it, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. It just didn't. No, man, you can't remake that. It just doesn't work.
How High 2, 2019 TV movie?
Yeah, it's like an MTV movie.
Yeah, it looks like there's a weigh-in, isn't it?
It was dumb, man. No good.
Maybe. I can't tell. No. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, How High was a hilarious movie. That's one of those high school movies for me. It's always on everyone's list. And like you said, quotables and most of the movies we've mentioned, we've had you know one-liners that we can just spout off about. And that goes again back to Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You hear that? It's my skull. I'm so wasted. You know, funny, quotable, timelessness.
Right.
That's something so unique to the human condition. This desire to every now and then step out of this into something, for lack of a better phrase, otherworldly, to change, to alter your mind, right? It is so natural for humans to want to do that the term adrenaline junkie became a real thing. Adrenaline gets you high and people seek it out. It's addictive. And it's universal, and its combination with comedy for the stoner films was just, like I said, my dad, a complete square, and yet he and I can sit down and watch some of these movies and just laugh out loud at the same jokes, and it's great. So my number one is a horror stoner film. And I love it. It's always in my favorite Halloween movies, favorite horror comedy, favorite stoner films, and that is Idle Hands. You ever seen it?
No, I have not.
Oh my goodness. You are in for a treat. I think it's on Tubi or Pluto for free right now. I'll verify and put that out. Idle Hands has Devon Sawa is the lead character, Anton. It's got Vivica A. Fox in it. She plays a evil demon hunter. And it's got Seth Green and the guy that plays Foggy in Daredevil. Ethan something. He was also Mighty Ducks. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Fulton Reed and Mighty Ducks. It's got all of them in it, and what it is there's this demon that possesses the laziest fucks that it can find and then causes murder and mayhem before moving on, right? And it possesses the hand. Idle hands are the devil's playground is the saying that they are playing off of. And it's legitimately Cannabis is the second star. The whole movie revolves around its effects, what it does to Pete. Like I said, it's this demon seeking out laziness. You know, what do people couch lock and things like that are terms in the marijuana community and stuff. And it's just such a great horror movie with all the classic tropes. You got rock music, you've got zombies, you've got nudity and teenage sex, which means they must die. And it's great because they do. The band The Offspring is in it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they play at the high school. That's how old fashioned this movie is. And I got to see it in theaters back in the day when your parents, well, at least where I was living at the time, could just buy the ticket for a rated R film, and then you could go in. And this came out in 1999 as a middle school. I remember seeing this with several of my middle school friends in theaters. Loved it. It's hilarious. I can't recommend it enough. So I'm surprised you haven't seen it. You did say horror is a bit of a newer thing for you. So yeah, man. Idle Hands. It's phenomenal. And Jessica Alba. I forgot. How can I forget Jessica Alba in this movie? Definitely a great movie for a 14-year-old kid. A great movie for a 14-year-old middle schooler going into high school, because it came out in April. Yeah, man, that's it. It's funny you mentioned Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, because another thing about stoner films is there's a whole other genre, the bigger genre that falls under, and that's just drug films in general. And I love those. And just out of curiosity, I was wondering, what is your favorite drug movie? Just overall drama, comedy, horror, doesn't matter. Do you have a, like, that drug movie that is your go-to?
Shoot. I don't think I have one. I'm going to be hella basic. Some of the ones that come to mind are Blow.
It's good. Spun.
Scarface.
Scarface. Requiem.
Yeah, I mean, just, there's just so many. And so, but yeah, those are the two I think that come to mind. Probably, it might be Blow. Might be. But also back to just a, because you added like a horror film, it sparked.
Oh, sure,
just a quick just a quick shout out to Scary Movie, man. Just, I don't know, the whole thing you talking about a horror film reminded me of Shorty.
Yes.
He's getting rolled up by the weed plant. And then he's not even, at one point, he's not even scared anymore. He's just like, take it to the head, take it to the head. And in order to save him, they're like, we got Funyuns and Cheetos. And he, oh, man. Yeah.
I like it when he gets shot.
He's leaking. Yeah, he's trying. Yeah,
you want to hit?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I had to bring it up. There's no way I couldn't. It was just such a good time.
It is. No, that's the thing. We could spend, you know, all day long talking about this. That's why it's so cool. There's a great drug movie. You may not have seen it because it's a little bit more obscure, even though it's got some big names in it. Go. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't seen Go.
Okay. Go also, 99. You guys... For some of you younger millennials and Gen Zers, might not realize that, like, what would you say, from about 96 to 03 was like the golden era of like modern stoner films, American Pie, How High, like all that. Yeah, I would say like 96 to 03 ish, my middle and high school years.
Also, shout out to Pineapple Express, bro.
There you go. Katie Holmes was in this. Timothy Oliphant was in this. William Fichtner is in this. There was a couple others, but go. David Boreanaz is in it, I believe. And anyways, go. It's mostly ecstasy, and it's actually like three different stories spread over three different groups, but all in the same time. And it's just a balls to the wall, pedal to the metal, full speed ahead, awesome thing. In which case, one person ODs on a substance so bad that the name game that they were playing earlier, where you try to name somebody famous with the letter of the alphabet, and he was stuck on X and couldn't think of anyone famous, and a cat tells him, a Chinese philosopher whose name starts with X, and he's literally having this conversation with the cat in subtitles. That's how high he is. And the movie shows it from that perspective. And it blends in enough of the action that you get from something like a Scarface with some of the drama from like a Requiem and comedy from like a Half-Baked How High type deal. Really good, intense, fun ride. Doug Liman was the director, and written by John August. So yeah, highly suggest that people check that out. Anything else, man, on stoner films, on this 420 culture day thing that we got going on? You're muted, by the way, Manny.
I think the main point I wanted to make, I made it a little bit earlier, about the way that the films are treated by the film industry as you know, garbage. Mm-hmm. But yet they're so beloved by people, and isn't that really what matters?
Yeah.
I find that really interesting. Just as I was like looking through the stoner films last night on lists and stuff, and saw what their ratings and things were of that nature by critics. I just like was like cussing them out the entire time, like do you not enjoy things? You know, like what does it take in order for, you know, can you just not be serious for a minute and just take a step back and enjoy it for what it is? And so I found that really interesting. But you know, it's funny because we're now in a time and a day where marijuana's pretty much legal everywhere, not federally, of course, but I'm surprised it's still taking this long to get it, to still going through it, but it's generally more accepted. So it's just interesting how it's the films were almost ahead of their time as far as what weed is to everyone, and it's such a normal thing now. I know I don't partake as much as I used to. I know it's almost like every few months I have a couple of pens that I keep with me just in case, and you know, sometimes with my brother or you know, some friends, but I always it's almost rare, but it's a good time when you do.
Yeah. I could say this, and it might be a little bit more on the serious side, which is the cool thing about LR Mornings, soon to be your daily cup of genre. Medically, I used to have a giant medicine cabinet. You know, people can hear my stutter and stuff. I've got the a head injury, but I have a lot of other health issues and lot that were related to pain and stuff, and it's been very, very liberating and giving me not all of my life back, but a chunk of it that I never thought I would get back. I can't sit in this chair as long as I can now, and I still can't sit, you know, for eight hours like back in the day, but it used to kill me to be in the chair for an hour. Now I can make it through. So it's, you know, read up, people, and of course follow all your local laws and stuff like that. Be safe. You know, there's plenty of research on, you know, like teenagers and brain development. They shouldn't necessarily be using it. But once you're grown and you're look, I come from the military where alcohol is almost water. You know, it's a way of life. It's glorified. We have drinking cadences while we're running, drinking cadences while we're marching. We have these drinking ceremonies and almost cult-like ceremonies at military balls where a grog is made and all this alcohol is poured in together. And I can't tell you how many soldiers' careers I've either watched go away because of an alcohol-related incident, or I've initiated the paperwork. I've been like, no, you're fucked. You're done. Get the fuck out of my army. I don't want you know? But the only time anybody's ever gotten trouble for the green stuff is they popped hot for it. They never went out and got in a car wreck. They didn't hit their spouse. They didn't steal anything. They just ordered a pizza. And now I gotta punish them. And I hated it. I hated it. So, that's that. Things are changing. Go enjoy some movies and start there. If you're one of those people that might have some reservations, start with some of these movies that we recommended. Gotta talk a little bit about some tech news, Manny, because it is Tuesday, and there's something I think a lot of people are semi aware of, but maybe not as much. I went to the military exchange where I live. We were looking at a potential refrigerator replacement. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're in a bit of a chip shortage in the world. Processors for GPUs, for CPUs, silicon is hard to come by. The fridges are all smart devices now. Everything's connected. Everything's got microchips in it. You can't buy refrigerators right now, Manny. They literally had signs not of it. The only model at this exchange was like the basic non-smart opens and closes, keeps shit cold, which I like. You know, that's what I need. But the reason why you guys are having your issues with getting the GPUs for your gaming rigs, or if you want to get into crypto mining, the reason you guys are having so many issues with getting PlayStation 5s, Xboxes, everyone wants to look at just the scalpers, which they are jackasses, but it's really this chip shortage going on because of lack of fabrication places. Everyone knows about the big one in Taiwan. They're usually, you know, booked by Intel, Nvidia, Sony, make this chip, make that chip. But recently we've had some investors and some other tech companies, including Intel, who've had their own fabrications, but stating that they're going to spin it up, start opening up fabrication for other people. Whole. The thing is, all of this gets down to one thing. What brought this on? Everyone upgrading devices for the pandemic. You needed Zoom. You needed a new laptop. You needed a new camera, a new phone, whatever. Gaming systems, all of that leads to it. And so how do we solve this problem? Well, one, product life cycles. Manny, how often do you, if you could optimally upgrade your phone the way you wanted to, how often do you think you would upgrade your phone?
That I really need it, Or just want it. Which of the two are we talking about?
You want wanting it. If you had your optimum money flow and you're like, yeah, I want a new phone every, like, I'm an every other model guy because for that,
I think that's where I'm at too.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing, especially with iPhones, is it seems like it's every other model that's worth getting anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, I come from an iPhone 6 and I didn't get one till an iPhone 10.
Wow.
But because of the fact that I was comfortable with it, it did what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to have the latest and greatest. If I have it, it's for a purpose. Like, I upgraded my laptop for things like this because I do Zoom calls all the time. I upgraded my mic because of, well, things like this. But as far as my phone, I text. I was able to check my emails. I'm old school, man.
Yeah.
I had a Motorola flip phone. That was my first phone.
Samsung
it had just
phone.
Digits yep. on the screen. So I didn't need to be like the latest and greatest. But the other one broke, so I did have to get a 10. And this one is on its last life right now, so I'm probably going to have to upgrade again. But that's going to be 2 years already since I've had it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ultimately, I think maybe every two, three years, maybe two. But yeah, like every – not so not the next one, but the model after that. I'm the same way also about consoles. I'm not going to get it when it launches. I'm going to probably get it a year and a half after it launches.
Make sure they work out bugs. And
it doesn't bother me, you know?
Stuff.
For some people, it almost seems like it's an itch. It's an anxiety that you have to have the latest and greatest. And I just don't get it. I don't need it. And it doesn't enhance your life any better just because your camera's a little bit brighter. Granted, it's not the same for, you know, computers and things like that, because sometimes you need it for, you need optimal speeds and you need fans and you need certain things. If you have it for a purpose, then yeah. But if you have it just because you're a dick and you want to have the latest and greatest because it's part of your status and it makes you feel like you're
keeping
a better
person, with the Joneses.
Yeah. Then nah, whatever, man.
Yeah. The reason I bring that up in product cycles is once the chip is made, especially when you're talking processors, there's not much you can do with it afterwards. You either use it as a you know component and it's older and slower, or you send it to the trash bin, hopefully to a proper e-waste recycler, which is still very, very difficult, releases a lot of toxic fumes. And this is part of what I want to get at. We're dealing with this chip shortage because of this increase in buying, some of it necessary to work from home, some of it not as necessary. And then, yes, the scalpers are an issue. But what I want to propose to people, and like I said the other day, hardware, I'm good on hardware. I will talk to you guys about TVs, screens, systems, speeds, all that stuff all day long. Software, I got to get back into it. It's been a while. But what I want to propose to you guys in the audience is think about your actual needs and what it is that you're doing with your electronics, with your technology, because I'm not the world's greenest person. Like, I'm not a big Earth Day guy, but I don't believe in hurting the planet. You know, don't do things that we don't have to. Look at what you need. Do you really need a 4K OLED TV? What do you watch? You probably don't. More than likely, a solid 1080p that can actually hit 60 hertz. For real, not artificially, is going to be good for like 90% of the people out there. Save you on money, save you on space, and save silicone for those that need workstations. They need a higher processor for their workstation, or they need a high-end graphics card because they do a lot of After Effects and video effects for production and things like that. Research. Reach out to all of the wonderful tech people on YouTube. Reach out to us, as this segment grows and things like that. Research and make sure that the product you buy does what you need it to do, and use it as long as you possibly can, until it's obsolete, until it's no longer usable for you. What do you think, Manny? Is that fair?
I think that sometimes manufacturers are ahead of it, so that they may
planned obsolescence. Yes, yeah, absolutely. So, and
it may not even be 100% on the consumer. But yeah, I feel that, and I think we've talked about this when talking about certain specs for. I think we're talking about monitors. Some people don't know what they need or want. Mm-hmm. And then they buy things and they don't know what they bought.
Yeah.
They heard the Best Buy guy say a whole lot of fancy things and it sounded good, but you don't know exactly what any of those things do. And I think one of the times we talked about it, because we're talking about gaming and how there's, I think it's like 28 or 32 inch, which is the optimal size. And anything bigger than that, is your brain can't process it anyway. And it just makes it harder for you to actually be successful, especially in a game like Call of Duty and things like that.
Things like field of view and screen distortion and your draw distance, all that. Like you mentioned, like Call of Duty esports. Yeah, yeah. Monitor setups super important.
Yeah. But your average consumer probably thinks a bigger screen, a better gameplay experience, when in fact, you look at esports, the only reason they have giant screens,
the audience to watch.
Yep.
Everyone's on like a 27 inch TV, monitor. Yep.
Yeah, you never see like a final match of two people playing on giant screens. it just doesn't work.
It happened in The Wizard. Oh. That was a good movie.
Yeah, no. So, and then same thing with the smart fridge. Like, do you really need, like, my fridge opens and closes and it keeps things cold. I think that's what it's supposed to do. Unless you have one like Harrison Ford, you can get into and survive a nuclear blast.
The only semi smart feature that I am remotely okay with is the inside camera on a fridge. The idea of, crap, I forgot my list, let me look in the fridge real quick while I'm at the store, that's okay. But like the see-through screens, the one with like the mini fridge opening front door, and then you open up the big door to get to the rest of the stuff, and how that will save you energy.
Like, why do you need to check your Facebook on your
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
Oh, and last thing, because I know Manny's got to get going to work and I got to get this edited up for you guys. Last bit of tech thing I want to say to you guys, because this virus is out there. I wanted to say this last week. Air purifiers for your home. Infrared air purifiers. Don't take it just from me. Do the research on your own. Physics, guys, are key to this. Don't waste your money, okay? High-end clean rooms use more than just an infrared filter. They use some incredibly high, powerful fans, suction, and filters that are like feet long to clean germs and stuff like that. This little infrared light that you're going to put in your HVAC for $500, don't take my word alone, but it's not, air moves too fast past that light, and you don't have the proper filters to slow it down for the lights to do anything. Do your research on your own, but I'm putting that out there. Those UV air scrubbers are not all there cracked up to be. Please, 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 before you spend money out of fear, do research. Anyways, Guys, check out the website, lrmonline.com, every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Just be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Lots of great content. Manny, Nancy Gig doing celebrity interviews, all of our wonderful podcasts, which are also available on the LRM Podcast Network, wherever you get podcasts from. Marvel Multiverse Mondays, LR Mornings, Breaking Geek. They're doing a dungeon with a Dungeon and Dragons quest on Breaking Geek Radio last week and this week, I believe. And Anime Versal, all sorts of really, really cool stuff. Manny, what do you got going on the internet?
So today, in honor of 420, I'm featuring a film that's being released today called The Marijuana Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I have Doreen Brown, who is one of the women who took place in a experiment in the 70s, where she and 19 other women were tested on for 98 days on the effect of marijuana on the female body, in order for the government to try and dissuade legalization. Unfortunately, the results were not what they wanted. They found out that one of the things that they were finding out was that people who were in the control group were actually doing worse than people mm-hmm. who were actually taking marijuana. So they buried the whole thing.
Yep.
And after the women got out, they left them. They never contacted them again. No after effects. And this is after being locked down for 98 days with the same group of people. No going outside, no nothing.
Wow.
Smoking weed every day. So I have one of the people who actually went through that, as well as one of the actresses who plays one of the women, two of them actually, and that'll be out throughout the day today.
Outstanding. Great. And then you guys be sure to check us out on our social medias at LRM exclusive for the site, at LRM Emmanuel, or LRM _ Emmanuel for Manny, and at that Kyle Malone, all on Twitter for myself. Thank you guys so much for listening, and enjoy yourselves safely, responsibly. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.